ילד למדרים על ליבי השם ילד למדרים על ליבי השם Oh my God I trust in thee Let me not be ashamed Triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Good morning. It's great to come together on this first day of the week here in the month of August. We are almost through the summer months, it seems. It's hard to believe that. We've been having some cooling trend, and it seems like in the weather, some of the hot, warm days we've been having, and a little bit of showers. But overall, we have wonderful weather here. It's beautiful to live here in the Northwest and to come together here on the first day of the week and see one another. I appreciate all the men who take part in leading the singing and Don's prayers this morning, and all who have come, and Jeremy's words to help prepare us for the observance of the Lord's Supper together. But it's good to see everyone here today. We always look forward to coming together on the first day of the week. And today I would like to invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31 through 46. And we come here to the last of the parables of Jesus. As far as we can tell, this is the last parable that Jesus may have spoken. And we have covered many of those, quite a few of them, in this series of lessons. But today will be the final one in this series. And we are going to be talking here in Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46. The lesson is entitled, Before His Throne. And it's speaking, as all of these parables in Matthew 25 are speaking, about the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of Christ, again, that we need to be all preparing for, and we need to be all watching for, we need to be all preparing and ready for when that day comes, because we don't know when it will be. And Jesus said that even he does not know the day or the hour, only the Father knows that day. But we need to be prepared for it to come. And these parables that are spoken here in Matthew 25 by Jesus, that is their purpose, to each one of these, in a different aspect, to give us part of the way in which we are to be prepared. And there are three different parables here, but we're looking at this one this morning. And so again, reading here in Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them, one from the other, one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So as we look here at Matthew chapter 25, we're struck by the fact of Jesus here closing his teaching by telling these three parables. He was asked the question by his disciples in Matthew 24, Lord, when will these things be? And give us the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And Jesus told them some things that were going to happen about the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem. But then he said that of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the Son of Man, only the Father. Speaking of the coming of Christ still in the future. Those other things happened in the days of the first century, in the days of the apostles, and came to pass in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed the city of Jerusalem. But the coming of Christ, the focus that Jesus has, is that we don't know the day of the coming of Jesus Christ. We need to be focusing on that event and the certainty that he will return. We need to be prepared. Jesus first told about 10 young women who were acting as waiting for the bridegroom. The bridegroom was coming and they did not know when he would come, and he delayed his coming, but they all had their lamps burning, and yet as he delayed, there were five of them who were wise and who were prepared, and they had brought sufficient oil and they were ready for whatever would happen. And when the bridegroom came, they lit their lamps and they went and brought the bridegroom and they entered into the feast. And yet the others did not make that preparation in the sufficient amount. They did not bring enough oil to have whenever this bridegroom came late as he did. And so they ended up not being able to come into the feast. And they said, Lord, can we borrow some from you? Can you give us some of your oil? And they said, no, we cannot. And that parable is teaching us one thing about being ready for the coming of Jesus, is that we need to be ready at all hours. And secondly, that we must take personal responsibility for our own preparation. We cannot wait until the last minute and then borrow or count on others who may have been diligent and we were not. The second parable that Jesus told was about this man who went away into a far country and he took his possessions and his talents and his wealth and he divided them among his servants, and he gave one five and he gave one two talents, a large amount of money, and he gave the other one talent. He went away for a long time, and when he returned, though, he found that first servant had doubled his five talents. The second had doubled his two talents, but that third had put his, buried it in the ground, and he just went and dug it back up and gave it to his master. And that parable is teaching us the importance that we need to each one be developing and increasing our faith while Jesus is still not returned yet. We need to be busily working in the kingdom, and we need to be developing our talents and our faith that we can use the opportunities that we have. Whether we have a large amount or a small amount, we still are all responsible to be doing what we can with what we have, to be preparing for the Lord and to be serving Him in the way that we are able. So Jesus was teaching us different ways here, different aspects of how to be prepared when the Lord comes. We need to be diligent in thinking and having our preparation of sufficient oil in our lamps, and we need to be multiplying and increasing the ability and the faith that we have been given. Now we come here today to this parable, and we see that as he begins here, he says that when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. We see here that Jesus begins this parable by talking about the separating of the sheep from the goats by the shepherd. And this is the part of this that is truly the parable that it is known for. Sometimes it's called the parable of the sheep and the goats. But actually, as we look at this, that is a very small part of this teaching that Jesus had. He only talks about this one time, and then he never talks about it again as far as the sheep and the goats. It's just an illustration that Jesus is using to help us understand better what it's going to be like when Jesus returns. But what's going to happen when Jesus returns, there's no questions about that. There's going to be a judgment. He's going to be sitting on the throne of his glory, and all the nations are going to be gathered before him. Meaning all people of all time are going to be there. And so we are made aware of the fact that Jesus, he is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of the lords. He is the creator. He is over all the nations. He is a sovereign Lord of all authority and power and glory. So when Jesus comes again, he will sit on his throne of glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. Now at that time, he is saying that what will happen is it will be like when a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Jesus is referring here to something very common that happened in Palestine in that day, was that sometimes the herds, they would have the sheep and the goats all mixed together. As they were out in the mountains, or they were out getting their grazing from the land, but as they would bring them in, they would separate them into two separate pens. One way that this was done was to have them go through a chute where only one animal at a time could pass through, and then the shepherd would have a gate that he could flip one way or the other and to have them go into their separate holding stall and pens that way. So as the sheep would come, he would have it go to his right hand. And as the goat would come, he would have it go to his left hand. So we can see that Jesus is just talking about something that the people of that day, they understood that this was a common thing that did happen. But as that was true, So will it be in the end of the days of the world when Jesus comes again. And that is the point that he is really getting at. He wants us to understand that all people are going to stand before the Lord, and they're going to be divided into two categories. The Lord will make that separation at that time. And we can see that telling the difference between a sheep and a goat, not that hard to do, is it? I mean, many times the sheep were white and the goats were black. So that made it very easy, but no one would have trouble separating a sheep from a goat. The Lord is going to be able to make that distinction very clearly. In the day of judgment, he will send those who are righteous on his right hand. Those who are unrighteous, those who are unbelieving, into his left hand. The right hand was the place of honor for the king. The king would set the person that was to be honored on his right hand. And we see a number of references to that where Jesus is sitting in the right hand of the Father in heaven. So he is saying that when the Son of Man comes, Jesus, is going to make a separation, and those who are his people, his faithful followers, they're going to be put into a place of honor at that time. And those who are not faithfully his followers, who are unbelieving in him, they are going to be separated to the left hand. Now, as he speaks about that, we see that he is going to then welcome those on his right hand into his kingdom, into his final, ultimate kingdom of heaven that is to be found when we arrive at that time at the end. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." We see here that he right away gets to the basis that is going to be, in this case, determining why the separation. Now we need to understand that when Jesus would tell a parable, he wasn't trying to explain everything at that time. He wasn't putting it all into that one parable, because he's already given other parables that explains other aspects. Like the wise virgins, they were prepared. Like the man with 5 talents and 2 talents, they were preparing themselves. But in this case, he's focusing on one aspect that is going to be an important reason for the separation into the righteous and the unrighteous. He said, "I was hungry, gave me food. I was thirsty." He talks about 6 different physical needs here that these people who are those who are on his right, that's how he's referring to them. He doesn't refer to them as sheep. He says, those on his right, he will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father." So he welcomes them in. Come here, enter in. Why? Because when I was sick, you came and fed me. When I was hungry, when I was sick, and you came and visited me, and you gave me food, and you gave me drink, and I was naked, you gave me clothing. That is the reason for the separation, for them to now be receiving this honor of position to be welcomed into this heavenly kingdom that he has prepared. Those are all physical things, physical needs. Now, when we think about food, drink, and clothing, being naked and needing warm clothing. But he also talks about the fact that I was a stranger and you took me in. Now, the word stranger that Jesus is using here is a word meaning a foreigner, an alien. And Jesus is saying, I was a foreigner and you took me in. Now, we understand that there's a tendency when it comes to foreigners coming into the land of Israel that they would be prejudiced against them from the start. That they would not belong, they would not fit in, they would not have a job to provide themselves. And so the tendency would be for the people of Israel to reject them. But Jesus, in the Old Testament, it taught the people of Israel not to do that. The Old Testament actually taught that when a foreigner comes into the land of Israel, you treat him special. You help him. You be considerate to him. You do not mistreat him. You do not abuse him. If you're harvesting your crops, you leave a little bit there for him to get some. So God did not teach his people to discriminate against the foreigners. And Jesus is pointing out the fact that I was a foreigner and you took me in. And that is the reason you come in to my kingdom. All of these things. And so the people then were surprised, it says. They were surprised by this. They said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty? When did you see a stranger, you as a stranger, and take you in? When did we do this, Lord? We don't remember ever seeing you like that. And Jesus will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you. In other words, I tell you the truth. This is a way of Jesus, before he makes the statement, he's saying, this is absolutely true. What I am going to say to you, that inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Jesus had given already by this time, he had given a new definition of family. Jesus had given the definition that who is my brother? Who is my mother? Who is my sister? It is the one who does the will of God. And Jesus is saying that you saw me and you took me in, but I'm not talking about myself. I'm saying that what you did was you did it to one of the least of my brothers. But when you did that, you did it to me. My followers, my disciples, my brothers and sisters, Jesus looks upon us who are his followers that way. That we are his own brothers and sisters. And he is giving them this reward and this blessing because they reached out and helped the needs of a brother or a sister in Christ. Jesus then turned and he said to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. He talks about those same six aspects. People in need. Basic needs. You did not help me, he said. Me. I was hungry. I was sick. I was naked. I was in prison. You did not come and visit me. Again, they are surprised. They will also answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. He speaks here then of the same thing for the righteous that is neglected by the unrighteous. And that being the dividing factor in their eternal destiny. Now, as I said before, a parable is told by Jesus to make one point. Jesus is not suggesting by that the only reason people are going to be saved is because they went to visit a Christian in the hospital, or they took them a meal, or they took them a blanket to help them stay warm in the wintertime. But he's talking about the fact that that is one thing that in the eyes of the Lord is, he notices that and he considers that as if it is done to himself. Whenever we help a fellow Christian, we're doing it for the Lord. Whenever we fail to do it for a fellow Christian, it's as though we were not doing it for Jesus himself. And that is the point that Jesus is wanting us to understand, why this is such an important thing for us as we are thinking about, Lord, how do I need to be preparing? I know you're coming again. I don't know when you will return, but I want to be ready. I want to be prepared when the coming of Jesus Christ comes again. One way that we need to be preparing is we need to be constantly aware of the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to be of the type of an attitude that we are watching, and we make a point to be attentive to their needs. If they are sick, we go visit them. We give them a phone call. We send them a card. We make a special effort that when a fellow Christian has some need, perhaps they lost their job, or perhaps it's a widow who lost her husband, we're going to be the kind of people that we're always going to be considerate of that. And we're going to be doing what we can as an ability and an opportunity. We're going to be making the effort, what we can do to help meet that need. Jesus sees that. Jesus is well aware of that. And so there's going to be a division when the day of judgment comes. All people, all nations, they're going to end up in one of two categories: the righteous, the unrighteous. And those that are in the righteous, they're going to be those people that were always looking, and they were helping when there was a need. They were willing to make a special effort to prepare a meal, to go visit, to send a card, to make a phone call, to give a word of encouragement, to make sure that those needs were being met. Jesus is going to not forget that when he returns and when we stand before him. So some of the final realities that we find as we look here at this particular parable is, number one, that we must all live in readiness for Christ's coming. And one way that we do that is by meeting and attending to the needs of other followers of Jesus Christ. Getting to know them. Being aware that whenever we are praying for someone, we might realize that person is someone I should think, how can I help them? What can I do this week that might be of able to encourage that person or meet their needs? Secondly, by the time each person stands before the King, before Christ, his or her eternity is established and can't be changed. Whenever Jesus comes again and we stand there before him, one thing we need to understand is our eternal destiny has already been established. by that time. There's not going to be anything can change it when we come before the Lord. Third, that we need to be willing to humble ourselves and minister and care for the needs of others around us as though you were taking care of Jesus Himself. And so, ultimately, we're all going to be divided as the sheep from the goats in that day. It's going to be already determined by what we have been doing before Christ comes. So thank you for your attention this morning. It is one good way for us to bring to an end the series of lessons of the parables of Jesus Christ that He told, and Jesus used this commonly as a way of teaching because it was something people could understand. He made it simple for people so they could not miss the point. Help us, Father, to be that mind of people here in this congregation, that we are attentive to the needs of one another and we love and care for each other. So we're going to stand and sing the invitation song today at this time. If you are here, any of you, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
Have you a heart that's been